This morning, as every morning this summer in Beijing, Liu Hulan woke before dawn to the deafening sounds of drums, cymbals, gongs, and worst of all, the horrible squeals of a suona, a many-piped wind instrument that resounded for blocks, maybe even miles. Competing to be heard over the instruments were the exuberant voices, cheers, and yelps of the Shi Sha Hu Tong Yangge folk dance and music troupe. This was the beginning of what would be a 3-hour session, and this morning it appeared to be taking place directly outside Hulan's family compound. Hulan hurriedly wrapped her silk robe around her, slipped on a pair of tennis shoes, and stepped outside onto the covered veranda outside her bedroom. Though it was only 4, the air was already thick as custard with heat, humidity, and smog. Once the summer solstice passed, Beijingers prepared for the arrival of Xiaoshu, or slight heat days. But this year, Dashu, great heat, had come early. This past week had seen 5 straight days with temperatures over 42 degrees centigrade and humidity hovering at about 98%. Hulan quickly crossed the innermost courtyard, passing the other pavilions where in the old days the different branches of her extended family had lived. On the steps of one of these, her mother's nurse, already dressed in simple cotton trousers and a short-sleeved white blouse, waited for her. "Hurry, Hulan, make them stop. Your mother is bad this morning." Hulan didn't respond. She didn't need to. She and the nurse had followed this routine now for the past 3 weeks. Hulan reached the first courtyard, pushed open the gate, and stepped into the alleyway that ran before her family compound. There were perhaps 70 people here, all of them senior citizens. Most were dressed in pink silk tunics, while a few wore electric green. The latter, Hulan had learned a week ago, had come from the Heavenly Gate Dance Brigade after an argument about who would lead the dancing in their own neighborhood. The people looked colorful and, Hulan had to admit it, rather sweet in their costumes. Sequins decorated their fans, while glittering tinsel and tufts of white fluff fluttered in time to the music. The bodies of the old people happily gyrated to the drums and cymbals in a dance that was a cross between the bunny hop and the stroll. "Friends, neighbors," Hulan called out, trying to be heard. "Please, I must ask you to move." Of course, no one paid her any attention. Hulan stepped into the dancers just as they began marching out of their circle and into rows.
"Oh, Inspector, beautiful morning."
This greeting came from Ri Li Han, a woman in her 80s who lived 5 compounds away. Before Hulan could respond, Madame Ri twirled away. Hulan tried to stop first one, then another dancer, but always they slipped past, laughing, their wrinkled faces flushed and sweaty. Hulan made her way through the dancers to the musicians. The cheeks of the man blowing on the suona were puffed out and red. The sound emanating from that instrument was high, loud, and discordant. Speech was impossible, but when the musicians saw Hulan pat at the pockets of her robe, they exchanged knowing glances. They had seen their neighbor, Liu Hulan, do this before. She was looking for her Ministry of Public Security identification, but, as was so often the case on these early morning excursions, she had left it behind. The musicians beamed and nodded agreeably to the inspector. Still clanking, drumming, and blowing, the musicians slowly set off down the alley. Following this cue, the old folks, continuing their dancing rhythm, filed past Hulan. She waited for Madame Zhang to pirouette by, but when she didn't, Hulan walked to the old woman's home, silently cursing this current wave of nostalgia to sweep through the city. One month, it was restaurants celebrating the long-past good days of the Cultural Revolution. The next month, there was a run on collectible Mao buttons. One month, there was a craze for Western-style white wine mixed with Coca-Cola and ice. The next month, old people were bringing their rumpled Yangge costumes and instruments out of trunks and closets and taking to the streets like a bunch of teenagers. Yangge music had originated among the peasants of China's northeast and had been brought to Beijing by the People's Liberation Army in 1949. Now, after years of deprivations and political upheavals, the old people had resurrected twin passions, dancing and singing. The only problems, and they were big ones as far as Hulan was concerned, were the time of day and the noise. China, although a large country, operated on one time zone. While in the far west, farmers might not go to their fields until the sun came up at 9, in Beijing, the day started unconscionably early. Psychologically, Hulan hated waking up before 6, let alone 4 in the morning, to the ungodly racket of the Yanga troop. This constant clamoring had also been extremely upsetting to Hulan's mother. Rather than filling Liu Jinli with sentimental longings or carefree memories, these raucous sounds made the older woman quite querulous. Since the Cultural Revolution, Jinli had been confined to a wheelchair and still suffered from bouts of catatonia. During the first weeks that she'd come back to the quiet of the Hutong, her health had improved considerably. But with the Yanggu music stirring up the past, Jinli's condition had once again spiraled downward, which was why Hulan had gone several times already this summer to Neighborhood Committee Director Zhang to register complaints. But the old woman, whose duty it was to keep tabs on the comings and goings of the residents of this Beijing neighborhood, had joined the troop herself and for once seemed completely immune to Hulan's imprecations. "Huan Ying, Huan Ying," Madam Zhang Junying said automatically, opening the door to Hulan. Then, seeing how her neighbor was dressed, the older woman quickly pulled Hulan inside. "Where are your day clothes? You're trying to scare the neighbors?" "There's nothing to see that they haven't seen before," Hulan said, pulling her robe more tightly around her. Madam Zhang considered these words, then said, "For most people, this is true. After all, what surprises can any of us have? But with you..." The committee director shook her head in a maternal show of disapproval. "Come, sit down. Will you drink tea?"